back at our candid convos. Today we're asking tough questions and answering tough questions.
Yeah.
We put a little thing out and said, hey, what are some questions that we don't talk about in church as Christians? And ironically, most of that stuff pertained to sex, which is not uncommon, but nonetheless. So let's get into it. Welcome to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast. Where two are better than one. They get a good reward for their labor, and if one were to fall, the other would be there to pick them back up. I'm Ron Corsi Jr.
And I'm Chelsea Corsi, and we're still married.
You know, it's interesting when you get married, Chels. You bring all of your stories, all of your life experiences, and now you have a person to, like, share them with.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't watch yourself, you know, you can kind of just be like sharing the same stuff over and over again. But every now and then, something makes you think of something that you've never thought of. Like, you know, Miss B used to literally send my father home with a pan of fried chicken.
Mm.
My father was the pastor. Every Bible, this is on a random Wednesday. Here's a little thing of fried chicken. Delicious fried chicken, first of all. She understood that. She had that gift. But just the fact that they had the audacity, like, we don't care about cholesterol. That's not real to us. Like, this is fried chicken. It's delicious. Here you go. Every week. I think eventually they had to be like, all right, now, this is just this is just a bit too much on
Let's
the fried
not
chicken.
Kill pastor.
Let's not kill pastor. But we have so many of those experiences. I'm walking around singing Jacob's Ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny song. But it just reminds me of stuff that, you know, that happened when we were kids.
Yeah.
And that stuff is just abundant, and it's always funny.
Yes, memories.
Yes, but memories. Memories in church. I don't remember ever, you know, people, they don't talk about sex in church.
No.
So it's not, like I said, it's not uncommon. It's not even shocking. We say, well, what are some things that you don't talk about in church? Everybody's like, here are all our sex questions that we always wanted to have answered.
Or directly saying, oh, you must be talking about sex.
Yes.
Literally verbatim.
Verbatim.
You must be talking about sex.
Must be.
Because what else don't we talk about in church?
Yeah, ain't nothing.
The only thing they say about it in church is don't do it.
Don't do it. That's a song. That's a hymn in there. Don't do it.
Out here sleeping around.
Sit down somewhere.
The woman at the well. That's the best we can get.
Don't be the woman at the well. She was a hoe. That's why she was there at noon. Don't do it. It's just like, no, this is no good.
Yeah.
So let's ask our first question that was submitted today.
Okie dokie. What music do Christians listen to during lovemaking? And I put in parentheses here, is it a sin to listen to secular music? Because I feel like that's the essence of what that person
of
is saying.
The question, right?
You know, because why would you ask that?
That's a good question.
Like, are we allowed to listen to secular music, period? And what do you listen to? What do Christians? That's a funny question to me.
Yes, that is very funny. All things are, you know, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient.
Yes.
So this is Paul making it plain that here's the key. You're allowed to do whatever you'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have that opportunity and that right, even before God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he does not always agree with what we're doing.
Right.
And what is the word? Expedient is like a word for edifying. It's not uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I can.
Or helpful.
You know what I mean? I can come in here and I can eat anything I want to. And it not be a sin, but it doesn't mean that it's a good choice.
Mm.
I can eat McDonald's cheese. I ain't gonna not to come to McDonald's, but you know, any burgers. I can eat burgers and cheese steaks and pizza all day long. It's not necessarily wrong, but it's not helpful.
Right.
And it's not good.
That's true.
So when I think it comes to secular music, we have to be able to actually guard our ears and our eyes. And, well, eyes concerning, like, music videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
But our ears concerning what is being said in the music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that is, I think, is actually very important because music is spiritual. And,
right.
And if you're not watching what goes in, eventually it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely, it is not a sin to listen to secular music. I don't care what anybody says.
No, it's not.
It's not. Secular just means not holy or not, you know, not set apart. Holy means not non-secular.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right? Holy means non-sec. Holy is sacred. I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. I'm saying secular and sacred.
I got you.
Holy is sacred music. Secular is non-sacred music, right? So it doesn't mean that it's necessarily bad. Now, there is some secular music that we don't need to be listening to.
Absolutely.
Taking over for the 99-2000. Working with some classy back then. Which is better than that then.
Okay.
I don't even know what they were saying. Shout out to Juvenile and them back in 2000. Girl, you look good. Won't you back that thing up?
Okay.
He's a big fine woman. Won't you back that thing up? You know?
Yeah.
Call me Big Daddy when you back that thing up. Who are they talking to? See?
Okay.
See, let's get to the heart of it. See, if I can say to you, my wife, girl, you look good. Why don't you back that thing up?
Mm-hmm.
You working with something. Back that thing up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But now, this is the okay, funny part.
I'm sorry. It's the fact that you're preaching it.
That is the funny part.
That's hilarious.
Whatever the song is the secular music, it has a spirit to it. And it's yeah. saying, where does this spirit lead?
Yeah, what is it encouraging?
What is it encouraging?
Yeah.
I'm married to you, which means I can feel about you however I want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfectly fine.
Right.
Sexually, any type of way.
Right.
I can feel that way. So when I'm listening to the music, and am I feeling that way about you?
That's the question.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Or am I feeling this way about
it? Or are they saying, up in the club?
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Okay. Find me in the club. Bottle full of bub. Mommy, I got what you need if you're into drugs. Now, see, we're not taking drugs.
Yeah. Right, right.
So now I have to, okay. So do I need to be listening?
I'm laughing for so many different reasons right now. Guys, I wasn't allowed to listen to secular music, so my quotes will be off.
Hilarious. Somehow neither was I, but still was.
Didn't happen for me. I was very sheltered for a very long time.
Thank God.
I caught up on things later, so it's going to be loose quotes over here.
That's terrible. That's what made us last. If it was too secular, I wouldn't have wanted you.
Right. Yes. No. Well, I'll tell you what comes to mind for me. It is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Mm-hmm. Says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Yep.
I take that scripture to mean eating and drinking are just the basic things you have to do to stay alive.
Right.
So it's like even in eating and drinking, even in the most mundane of things. And then it says, or whatever you do, mm-hmm. you know, do it all to the glory of God.
Right.
So the question to me is always, does this bring God glory?
Right.
A love for your spouse brings God glory.
Mm-hmm.
You can celebrate love. You can encourage those types of feelings towards your spouse.
Yeah.
That glorifies God to me. You know, like if we are having sex and we have some, I don't know, Marvin Gaye, some Luther Vandross.
See,
you know.
God, I was going to bust out.
A little Anita.
Anita.
Nah, yes. Specifically Anita. But, I'm sorry. Okay, sorry, I got a text. But yeah, specifically Anita. Mm-hmm. What's my song? With all my heart, I love.
That's everybody's song, okay.
Like, if we listen to that.
Yes. Beautiful.
That's beautiful. Sure. That's encouraging our feelings toward one another.
Right.
You know, we don't typically listen to music. We have.
Yeah.
We have, but we don't typically.
Right.
So that's question number one. Do y'all even need that or want that?
Right.
Number two, like, I don't think it needs to be an assumption like you have to listen to music while you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, but if you want to, then it's just like, well, it just should be encouraging love toward your spouse,
mm-hmm.
and not encouraging any thoughts elsewhere.
That's the kicker.
You know.
You listen to me and Mrs. Jones.
Right.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
That does not glorify God.
Going on.
As iconic like, as it is, it does not glorify the Lord.
You and Mrs. Jones need to cool it down.
You know. Cool it now.
Cool now.
No, but like, you know, I hate that one song, Where I Wanna Be. I'd be like, shooty doo doo dee doo dweety. Sit down, sir.
I don't mean to hurt you, baby.
So don't. This dummy.
I gotta go.
I have no good words for that.
I don't
man.
Know if I want you.
What
or
an
not.
Idiot. I'm
so
sorry.
So I need to go and try other women.
Right.
So I can figure that out.
And if, ladies, if anybody ever says that to you, don't wait for them to come back, okay? Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. Because that's what business. I hate about that song. Like,
implications
that it's like, yeah, and be there when I finish with that whole let him sow his wild oats and let him come back. No, sir,
I say when you love someone else, you just don't treat them bad.
Excuse me, that's how I felt about that.
I don't know why I feel so sad, but I want to leave.
No, that's an idiot. Then go. That's an idiot. That's what that is. Then go, sir. I can't enjoy the song because I'm very focused on lyrics as a person. And when I hear the lyrics and they're baloney, I don't want to listen to it anymore. That's just me.
This is just terrible. I don't even want to start talking about lyrics. But it's story time. Story time. This must be shared. One of my worst experiences as a person and as a child at the same time.
Oh.
Didn't know that until I got older. It's like, yeah, this still holds up.
I feel like I know what you're going to say.
As a horrible situation. So, being that we're holy, my father and I and my mother and my two cousins, who I consider sisters, I love y'all, if they ever listen, we'll see if they love us. This is during the time of Usher's 7 o'clock on the dot. I'm in my drop top cruising the streets, right? We're up there singing it for some reason. And this is what we attempted to do. We tried to attempt my much older father and slightly younger than him mother that the song was not that bad for us to be singing. And that, no, this is a good song. Like, yeah, it ain't got nothing crazy in it. It's like, no, this is good. So this is what they say. Okay, y'all sing it. Let's hear it.
Oh, Lord.
And this is how you know kids are dumb. It's how you know they're dumb. We sat there and we sung the song. Literally thinking in our mind, like, no, this is good. 7 o'clock on the dot, I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets. I got a real pretty little thing that's waiting for me. I pull up anticipating good love. Don't keep me waiting. I got plans to sung this to my mother and father. I got plans to put my hands in places I've never seen. Girl, you know what I mean. Let me take you to a place that's nice and quiet where there is no one there to interrupt. We're singing this to a pastor and his first lady
wife.
That is
so funny.
Who was also my mother and father, trying to convince them this song isn't too grown for us. It's just like, and the crazy
what
part
did they
is,
say?
I feel like they didn't even say anything. I feel like they came to Nas like, these kids are dumb. They must be stupid. I think, I don't remember them literally saying anything about it. Like, hey, don't sing that. It's just like, wow, they're really dumb.
You know what, though? It's those moments, I think, as a parent where you're like, good, you're still innocent.
Still innocent. That's
like,
what
if
it is.
You don't know anything is wrong with that, praise the Lord.
That's what it was.
That's Chelsea. What it is.
They actually realized, y'all are so lost, we're good.
We're safe.
Y'all got a few more years. We don't even need to talk to y'all about this.
Exactly.
You're lost.
Exactly.
Horrible.
That is so funny.
Yes. But concerning the music, it's just like, hey, we just have to watch what is coming out in music. I mean, you know, you listen to like music, Soul Child's Love, and from what I hear, it was a song that was actually supposed to be called Lord, right? It's like, and the lyricism and the imagery and just what the song means, you know, figuratively, is just beautiful. And it could add to your experience. And I don't think God would actually have a problem with that at all.
No.
If the devotion and what's coming out of your mind is centered towards your spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So listening to music is perfectly fine. You just got to watch what music it is.
Yeah.
It can't just be some old, like I said, me and Mrs. Jones. Like, my wife can't be Mrs. Jones.
No, not at all. There's no way.
Like, yeah, I'm cheating with Mrs. Jones. It's like, nah.
Or even just being amused by the thought of other people doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And like you said, what you put in is what comes out. You have to feed yourself things that you, same thing as feeding your physical body.
Yeah.
You know, you feed yourself junk, you're going to be sick. Yes. You're not going to be healthy.
It's true.
And same thing with your spirit. So, yeah.
Imagine that. It's hard for us to really understand that because we're spiritual beings, but we kind of let the physical override. We forget that we are actually spiritual man as a spirit being in a physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And we allow our appetites and our physical desires to like override our spirit to the point where we can just live off of flesh and we can end up being carnal, not realizing like your spirit needs to be fed.
Yep.
It's not something, it's literally your flesh does not need to be, well, it does need to be fed physically, right? But like feeding that desire and that thing is like, it's going to be there whether you feed it or not.
Right.
It's not like that with the spirit. Whereas the spirit, like if you don't feed your spirit, it starts dying.
Yeah.
Whereas your flesh, like, is just ready.
Yeah.
Like to the day you die.
Wow, that's true.
You don't got to feed the, please.
Mm-hmm.
The carnal things that we seek, whether, you know, whether it be sexual, whether it be power. Well, there you go. I mean, realistically, pride of life, lust of the flesh and lust of the eye. You ain't got to feed them. They're waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, but the spirit is waiting. Like you have to feed that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah, a friend of mine had said before that her uncle said something about like whichever wolf you feed.
It's an old.
Something like that.
Well, I'll say a parable because that's more holy. It's like an old parable says, well, typically it's fear or faith. That's typically what they say.
Which okay.
If you had a dog, I'm going to tell the parable now.
Go ahead.
Right? And they switched it up and said a wolf. Most times I heard a dog.
Mm-hmm.
If you had two dogs, one calls fear, one is called faith. And they said, which one gets bigger or stronger, or which one wins, whatever. Mm-hmm. He said, whichever one I feed the most.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
If you feed your fear, you feed your faith, whichever one you feed the most is going to be the one that wins, or if you have them fight or battle, something like that.
Right. Yeah. But that's the truth with the spirit and the flesh, you know, because the same thing. Remember Mike Todd did that demonstration with pouring the...
with the ping pong.
Right, and he had ping pong balls in like a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And he filled it up with water. And of course, as the water fills up, the ping pong balls start spilling out the top.
It's true.
But the thing is, like, once they get to the top, you know, you can't get them to go back in. You
can't get them to go back in.
They're just floating on top now. They can't penetrate.
Yep, surface.
And
stuff.
It's like, yeah, the flesh is always trying, always, you know, trying to penetrate that wall.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get to a point where, you know, by the grace of God and by the strength of the Holy Spirit, you can get to a point where, you know, things are not as enticing or as desirable anymore as they once were.
You know what? And that's a blessing. That's a place where...
A gift from God.
It is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. It's literally the more you fill him with your spirit, literally, it's like, I mean, I think it's literally one of the best illustrations ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like a clear indicator of like, this is what the spirit does.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that sin isn't still present.
Right.
It's like, but the more spirit you get into you, the more sin dissipates and doesn't have control over your life. And then when it comes, it's like that power of the Holy Ghost inside of you is so rich that you can actually just say no.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can say no to those desires and just move on.
Amen.
And they
it's
won't
true.
Have you captive.
It's so true. Yeah. It is so true.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, but... You go ahead and put your music on.
If you want to. I personally prefer the sounds of lovemaking. Those are the best, you know, that's the best soundtrack for me, personally.
What, on YouTube?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't say the signs of lovemaking.
Oh.
I said the sounds of lovemaking.
Right.
Yes, the sounds of lovemaking is not a song. It's the actual sound of our lovemaking.
Oh.
Amen.
Sorry, yes. I thought you were talking about a playlist because we or like a station or something. Because we have done it scarcely, but yeah, listen, that's funny.
That's like old 80s, you know, not 80s, more like 90s R&B or yeah. But then it just like it'd be distracting to me because then the music is like stuff you'd be like,
right? Then you're sitting there bopping.
Damn it, y'all, you know, somebody rocking, knocking the boots,
or you got to like, stop and skip something if you don't like the song.
That's boo. The real kicker. Like,
you got to make your own playlist. Tip, make your own playlist because don't leave it to DJ whoever to. Yeah.
Shake that booty, booty.
Right. Sometimes stuff don't even match. It'd be just come out of nowhere. Like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This. All right. This is not Anita.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. Not Anita.
All right. So our next question is what to do when sex isn't possible. And this comes down to like time of the month, distance, illness, low sex drive, etc. Someone actually also asked, because I've lumped some of these questions together because some of the questions like overlapped. But somebody asked, like, what if you have a spouse who's like just sick, yeah. you know, like very ill and they can't and stuff like that. Like, what do you do?
Mm. Did you want to go first?
I can.
Oh, go ahead. You say speak on it.
Okay, I'll speak on it. So we're going to get back to time of the month. But let's just say if because that's part of our next question. But let's just say that if you and your spouse choose that that is not something you are partaking in. But any of these reasons. So let's start with illness or time of the month or low sex drive, because like some of those things don't last forever. Mm-hmm. You know, there are other things you can do outside of, and this is just me, there's other things you can do outside of intercourse. Mm-hmm. You know, foreplay is not forbidden. I mean, we're keeping it real over here. We've had times where we have touched ourselves side by side. Mm-hmm. We've had times where we have touched each other, but there was no intercourse or penetration, to be exact. Mm-hmm. We've had times where we've had times where we were apart and we have video called each other. Mm-hmm. And done it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's other ways to do things, and if you are the spouse who is like not up to it for one reason or another, you can still aid your spouse in being able to be satisfied with their needs without having to physically exert too much energy or have physical intercourse. Mm-hmm. Penetration specifically all the time. Yeah, that's, and if it's a low sex drive, outside of like it being medication induced or illness induced, you know, you can definitely talk to your doctor.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Natural things for that. I mean, that's probably the easier one. Right. Because low sex drive doesn't mean no sex drive.
Right, right.
I mean, and even no sex drive, I'm not sure how it necessarily works with women, as far as, you know, moisture and. Oh. And lubrication.
Right.
But, you know, there's lubrication.
Yeah, you buy it.
You buy it. And, you know, I'm not sure. But even for men, low sex drive, you know, there's things you can do. If you're unhealthy, mm-hmm. like I said, like I don't know if it was low sex drive or if I was just, I don't know. But experiencing that where, you know, your stuff ain't working like how you need it to. Yeah, like health, working mm-hmm. out. A lot of times that right there will just cure that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? As far as doing it, okay, let me say this. I feel like there is an aspect of this that literally does require self-control.
Yeah.
And, you know, delay of pleasure.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. We have control over our sexual appetites. Mm-hmm. And that's something that a lot of times people try to kind of throw to the side and say, well, I have these appetites and ain't nothing I could do about them.
Right.
That's not true. Mm-hmm. That's false. And that doesn't come from God. Mm-hmm. God wants you to be a disciple. A disciple is a disciplined person, a Christian, you know, a follower of Christ who is disciplined really completely. Mm-hmm. Not just in one area. God never says like, hey, you're good over here, but I ain't worrying about that over there. Mm-hmm. He may say that for a time, but he's coming to it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I feel like this is where I feel like having sex on your period, not to mention, you know, in Leviticus, or do we have the scripture for that?
Yeah.
What is the scripture? But just the actual reference of what the scripture is, just mm-hmm. so. But not to actually do it when you're, woman is menstruating.
Leviticus chapter 15, multiple verses, and
right.
Leviticus chapter 20.
Right. I understand it is Old Testament law, But sometimes it's just some, I mean, obviously some things carried over, and most of the times it was moral things, mm-hmm. and some things that kind of go without saying. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is, in my opinion, I actually feel like this is one of the things. It's like, if they didn't want you to do it, it's like, here's the thing. Typically, your woman's going to menstruate for what? I think it varies, right?
Yeah, some people, it's like three. It could be like anywhere from 3 to 7 days.
3 to 7 days, typically, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what disciple cannot wait 7 days for anything?
Yeah.
Especially when you're a Christian who typically is waiting on God. Mm-hmm. And God is not like a 7 day type of guy most of the time.
Right.
He's more like a, all right, you want this? Okay, let me put you through everything I need to in order to know that you can be trusted with this. Mm-hmm. And then I'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. That can be like 5 years.
Yeah.
Right. So you with your sexual appetites to say like, oh man, I just have to have it in a 7 day period. It's like that. I feel like you need to be working on your spirit more in that case.
Agreed.
Because here's what happens. What happens when your spouse is actually ill?
Uh-huh.
And now they, you know, maybe they have cancer. Maybe they have a chronic illness.
To it's where like, they, well, what do you do now? Cannot.
Are you going to be like, well, she just has to give it up, or he just has to give it up? It's like, you wouldn't say that, right?
No.
Good. So menstruation is just another aspect where everybody can exhibit self-control and exhibit the fact that here's the thing. The longer you wait, for those who have a good sex life, it's like when you come back together, it's always great, mm-hmm. because it's built up. You know, you're aroused, you're horny, and you want to do it, mm-hmm. and it's better that way. But being able to exhibit that self-control, I think, is key. Mm-hmm. And for the sake of not knowing if somebody could end up being ill or mm-hmm. end up being away or end up, you know, just in a situation where you cannot do it,
right,
and doing it would really be distasteful, mm-hmm. right? But even in those situations, you cannot give place to the flesh, mm-hmm. right? If my wife isn't available, I can't be like, well, it's been a month because she's sick, so I'm just going to watch porn,
right?
Because, hey, I mean, I have to. It's like, no, that's not how this works. Mm-hmm. It's like, you have to endure. Mm-hmm. Endure till the end.
Right.
Like, keep enduring.
Yeah.
Be patient and be kind to her and be kind to him and be patient to him, whatever it may be, and endure it. I mean, that's a whole nother can of worms for people who are like, you know, in the military or
I know, yeah.
or things like that. And I don't even know how I feel about like video calling either. I'm really unsure.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm traumatized, Chels, because, you know, I've just looked at a lot of things on phones and tablets and videos and stuff. And, you know, I don't know how I actually feel about it. But I can't say, like, necessarily that it's wrong.
Well, no.
I can't say it's wrong. I just don't know how I feel about it on mm-hmm. that on that aspect. But everything else is like, hey, you need to exhibit self-control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's times where it literally just nobody can do anything,
yeah.
you know. And now, there's right. a difference between it's hard or to do mm-hmm. or hard to come by, but, like, and then, like, we just literally cannot.
Right.
You know, there's a difference there. And I agree with what you said, that if you can, then please do, mm-hmm. you know. And which kind of leads me into the period thing. So I have a slightly different point of view about that. Because I was going to bring up 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where, you know, it talks about, like, you know, don't stay apart for too long, or you'll give, you know, room for the enemy to tempt you. But if you do abstain, like, let it be for a short time for fasting and prayer. Mm-hmm. That's literally the only time in the New Testament mm-hmm. that it talks about reasons to abstain from intercourse. And of course, we know the Levitical laws can get a little fuzzy because a lot of them are ceremonial. Mm. Of course, that had nothing to do per se. I mean, in some instances where it was mentioned, it did have stuff to do with, like, you know, like, if you're going to go make sacrifices, you have to go through like a cleansing period before you go to make your sacrifices and certain things you would do. I think sometimes they would say, like, if a man slept with a woman at all, they would be unclean and had to wait a certain amount of time before making their sacrifices to the Lord and stuff like that. But I was reading up on it, and I really like gotquestions.org, I believe it is, .com.org, one of the two. But Got Questions, I usually don't really see any weird theological things going on there. But what they were saying is, if you really look at the full laws about a woman who's menstruating, like if we were to follow all of it, then, because that's the key, are we taking all of it or some of it or none of it? You know, it's like if part of it is true, then all of it is true. Sure. You know, and it literally says that you can't touch something a woman touched while she's on her period. You can't touch the woman while she's on her period. She has to go stay away somewhere.
Right.
There was like an extreme list of like laws. And when it was talking about the uncleanness, they were saying that the uncleanness didn't necessarily mean that she was like dirty. You know, it was just that they were actually saying they think it has something to do with the sacredness of blood. But because it was saying about like the fountain, like you've been you've exposed her fountain or something. It's like kind of deep. But there's like other underlying things going on there with what things represent and all that kind of stuff, but it's just like, you know. But as far as the New Testament is concerned, it says we're no longer held to the Mosaic law,
right?
And then it also in the New Testament it was another good point that homosexuality, adultery, what is the word for when you have sex before marriage?
Fornication,
all of that was reiterated in the New Testament.
Right.
But sex with a woman on her period or any laws about a woman on her period are not reiterated,
right,
in the New Testament. And the only reason there is to abstain in the New Testament is to fast and pray.
That's a good point.
So, in my opinion, you know, I actually think there's nothing wrong with having sex while a woman is on her period. And at that point, it comes down to what are you and your spouse comfortable with? Like, that's just between you and your spouse at that point. Because some people might just be like, ill, no. Or some women might be like, oh, I feel like crap. No, thank you. You know,
right.
Or that's just gross, you know, but it's up to y'all. I don't think that it would actually be sinful based on everything I've seen. I also looked up if it's unsanitary, and everybody says like medically there's no issue with that. So
Well, I mean, that says it. As I said, you know, we don't, right? But that's based off of how I feel, because like, obviously you've expressed that, you know, you're not on that aspect. And you have a point, because when the stuff you mentioned about like, hey, you can't touch a woman, you can't do anything with her, is like, it seems like, oh yeah, that's a part of that ceremonial sort of thing, where it's like, okay, because if you're gonna be like, well, if you can't do one, it's like, that makes perfect sense. Like, there was a lot more that went with the whole you can't have sex. It was like, she can't even be around,
right?
And that's not the case now.
Right
So that's a fair point.
And it also had to do with sanitary availability. Back then they just had rags that would
just be blood.
Like, they couldn't even function. So
it's interesting.
All right, well, our next question: should Christian couples explore each other's sexual fantasies?
Once again, I mean, it depends on, I would say it depends on what the fantasy is.
Agreed.
You know, any fantasy that leads you into, that would lead you into sin or imply sin is actually sin. God, you know, Jesus Christ said, you know, it has been said to you, if you sleep with your, you know, whoever's wife, you've committed adultery. But I say, if you look at her in your heart, you know, you've already committed adultery. So the impurity that starts in the heart is the issue with the fantasy.
Right.
It depends on what the fan, you know, what my fantasy could be. You know, I want to have sex with a lady police officer.
Right.
What lady police officer? Is that your wife? Or is this some other broad? Right? No, this is, oh, I'd like my wife to be. Okay. So when I go and buy you the police officer's outfit, is it you in the outfit, or is this somebody else? It's like, am I playing with the whole, it'd be nice to cheat or commit adultery on my wife thing.
Right. Does my name have to be Zelda today?
Doesn't Zelda, of all names to choose.
The warrior princess. Zena. I'm sorry, Zena.
That's hilarious. The warrior princess. And tearing up the name.
Nah, but.
Yes. But yeah, I think it's perfectly fine to have a fantasy. It's like, here's the thing we have to realize is that sex was meant for men and women who are married.
Yes.
That's really what it was meant for. So everything that people are doing, I'm not saying all of it is good or proper, but it's like you were supposed to enjoy each other in a way that you can only do with each other.
Right.
It's like, so what's a fantasy? I don't know what the fantasy is. Like, hey, I want to do it here. Great.
Mm-hmm.
It's your house.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
Right.
You know, I want to whatever the fantasy is. Mm-hmm. If there is no sin implied in it, then it's just a pleasurable experience, really.
Right. Yeah, I think a good example of that would be like, oh, like I want to come home one day and you're cooking naked in some heels.
Yes,
like that is like.
Go ahead and put that down.
Like
UGG boots. I don't care any sort of shoe and naked.
Have mercy. You know, like that is like, okay, yes, I am fantasizing about coming home to my wife.
Yeah.
Naked.
Yes.
In whatever shoe.
Yes.
Cooking.
Other than flip flops.
You know, okay, cool. Okay, I was not even talking about you. This was hypothetical. You know, like if that's the fantasy, go for it. Yes. You know, that's great. But if the fantasy is, you know, I want to go to a doctor's appointment and have a naughty nurse.
Name something else
yeah. And you need to change, like put on a different way. I want to sleep with a blonde.
Yeah.
You know, like that type of stuff.
Yeah,
like,
She's not a blonde.
Unless, and that she therefore changes her that's hair blonde, not your wife.
Right.
You know?
That's kind of futile. It's not really about the hair. It's not about anything other than the implication.
Right, right.
And the heart behind it.
Right, right.
It's like, this is a beautiful thing. This is my woman.
This is the only person, ladies. Sometimes we have fantasies, you know, too, and vice versa.
Sure enough, like this is the only person whose breasts I can touch,
right?
Whose vagina I can touch,
right?
You understand? This is the only behind I can grab.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can kiss, whatever. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's like I'm allowed to fantasize about my wife,
right?
Which is beautiful. I can't be fantasizing that my wife is somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the kicker.
Agreed.
So and you can't be losing your mind either.
Right.
Just like, you know.
Let's and take you don't want to involve things or other people.
Oh, man. Have mercy.
Which, what to do if my spouse wants a threesome and is having a threesome cheating? That does go in line with sexual fantasies.
Let's just squelch this one. Let's just knock this one right down. Sex is meant for a man and a woman who are husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Not two men and a woman. Mm-hmm. Not two women and a man. Not three women. Not mm-hmm. three men. Threesomes are sin.
Mm-hmm.
Without question. It's fornication and it's adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's fornicating and somebody's committing adultery. Even if everybody knows about it, it's right. still sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that a Christian person should be doing at all.
Yeah.
And if they want a threesome, well, first of all, you have to observe, who are we talking to?
Yeah.
Is this a follower of Christ?
Yeah.
A follower of Christ would not say, hey, let's have a threesome, unless they just don't understand that it's sin, which seems unlikely mm-hmm. based off of, sexual immorality that was explicit in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So having that person say, hey, I want to have a threesome, either they're being very carnal or they may not actually be a follower of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be brought up. So I would assume that they are not a follower of Christ.
Right.
But it is still wrong. Yes.
Right.
I mean, but then again, if you're not a follower of Christ, nothing is necessarily wrong to you.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
And you wouldn't be convicted about anything.
Right.
Because you wouldn't have the Holy Spirit.
Yep. So... Yeah. So that's the key. In the kingdom of God, it is with, well, it's, here's the key. It's sin regardless.
Mm-hmm.
In the kingdom of God, we know it's sin and we shouldn't even be pursuing it. If you are not a follower of Christ, I also would suggest you don't pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's just not what God would have for you to do. However, like in all things, you can do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if your spouse is asking that of you, don't. Just don't.
No. And I also want to encourage women, because women can get caught up with the submitting to your husband, you only submit to a husband who is following Christ. Yeah, I follow you as true. You follow Christ. You do not have to, well, and you should not follow your husband into sin.
Oh, yeah.
That's not what that's about. So if you're trying to be, first of all, like that covenant, mm-hmm. you know, the marriage covenant is only a covenant if it is between you and your spouse and God. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're with an unbelieving spouse, there's no covenant because mm-hmm. covenants can only be made with God. So with if you're with an with the blood, hallelujah, of the Lamb. So yeah, like there can only be that covenant, that marriage covenant between two believing spouses and the Lord. Yeah. So if you're married to an unbeliever, you do not submit to your husband. That whole hierarchy there is broken. Mm-hmm. You submit to God.
Yeah.
You submit to God.
That's true.
If your husband is being an under shepherd of the Lord, mm-hmm. then you can submit to your husband. But if your husband is leading you astray, mm-hmm. you do not submit to him or anyone else for that matter who is leading you astray. It could be your pastor. It could be yeah. your father, mother, sister, brother, friend, yeah. whoever, boss, mm-hmm. whoever it is. If they are leading you astray, you do not follow them anymore.
Yeah.
You follow God. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just want to encourage y'all in that.
Well, that's a great point, I think, but it can also be a gray area in that, and this is not uncommon, that where a woman is saved and following Christ and has a man who is not.
Mm-hmm.
And even and really, it can even be vice versa. But it means more so for the woman because the woman is supposed to submit to her right. husband, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's specifically talking about someone who's leading you astray.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the key. If your husband is not leading you astray, you still have to submit to him because he's your husband and you're married and you submit to him as unto God. But everything is not sin.
Yeah.
So
that's tough.
I know it's tough.
Obviously, if they're not trying to lead you into sin, then right. there's no issue.
They're not. But you still have to submit to them. Like, it's not like a thing where, you know, you still are based by what God says. It's like you submit to your husband as unto the Lord. If he is not submitted to the Lord, there's certain things you won't expect him to do.
Right.
However, there are certain things that are just like we live in a house together.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, I like certain things from you, and in submission to me, you should do them because that's the agreement. This is what marriage is,
mm-hmm.
where this is why they're so adamant in saying, do not be yoked with unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put yourself in this situation.
Wow.
Sometimes you can't help it
yeah, because
you're not saved.
Switch up on you too.
Or they will have mercy. That's even more understandable.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's less understandable. More understandable is two people get together, they're not saved, and one person gets saved.
Yeah, that's
it's like
tough.
There's nothing you can really do,
mm-hmm.
right? But you still have to be submissive to your husband. And
does the Bible... I want to do more research on what the Bible says about being married to an unbeliever. Because first of all, it says don't.
Well, okay.
So like then if you are, now what do you do? Like the only scriptures I remember off the top of my head... Well, scripture mm-hmm. I remember off the top of my head is where it says, like, if a wife is married to an unbelieving husband, that she should, like, basically love him and pray for him and yeah. live a Christ-like life before him because he might be saved because of her.
Right.
But I don't know what the Bible says about, like certain commandments. I'm like, are these commandments to believers or are they commandments generally? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
However, I also know that, like, you keep your word. You know, I know the Bible's clear about keeping your word. You don't mm-hmm. go back on your word and all of that. So if you make vows mm-hmm. to the person.
Yes.
But the wedding vows don't typically say wife submit to the husband.
Right. That's true. But if you're a Christian woman, you know that that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. Listen, I ain't right. I mean, listen, if you're supposed to submit to your husband, then you have to submit to your husband because God says you should.
But how do you submit to your husband as unto the Lord if your husband is not in the Lord?
Because you're in the Lord. And let the same mind be in Christ that was in you, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, putting on the form of a servant. So you serve your husband in an effort to lead them to Christ.
Yes, sir.
But this is why also he's saying, when he said, if you have an unbelieving spouse, he didn't say, forget them. He's like, no, you have to love them and pray for them and be there. Like, there's no way to like just stay there and love them and pray for them and then not submit to them and then be like, well, I hope that the Lord changes their heart. Your submission is what's going to help change his heart.
It depends on what you're defining submission as to me.
Submission means that you basically esteem someone higher than you.
Right? Okay, sure. And you both do that.
Yeah.
The husband also submits to the wife in that way.
But he can't because he's not saved.
Sure.
Right. So that leaves one person to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Right.
The submission that I'm not sure of is leadership. Priest of the home. You know, like.
Well, he can't obviously he can't be that spiritually.
Right. Definitely not spiritually, but it's like, are you now subject to like just going with every decision that he make, like, can you really allow him to be your head if he's not in Christ? That is what my question becomes.
That's a good question.
And that is where I'm like, is that command to believe, like, to believers that are married, or is that just marriages across the board? Because that just seems a little fuzzy to me. It's like, how am I supposed to follow you when you're not in Christ? Because I, like, you know. And that's where it's like, I definitely say, you know, there's no issue if you're in agreement, if it's not sinful.
Right.
You know, but there is issue when it is sinful.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's not. Everything is not sinful.
Not everything, no.
No. I mean, a lot of things is just like, you know, if you're in submission to your husband and your husband says to you, and he may not be like, you know, we say submission, we think it's necessarily a bad thing, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just it's just order.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, I'd like to move to Kansas. And, you know, y'all discuss it. You may not agree, but it's not sin. It's just something that you would have to be like, okay, well, maybe you say, well, my church family is here, but we're moving to Kansas. It's not sin.
It's not sin.
Yeah, you have to find a new church.
That's funny.
Yeah, but it's just an interesting look.
That's so hard though, because it's like you can't even say, let's pray about this and see if it's the will of God. It's just, now I just gotta go with you wherever because you said
you're
not in the Lord
because you're married. I mean, that's not this. It's like, this is why I cannot stress enough. It's like, if, and like, again, sometimes we get into situations with unbelievers, and then sometimes we find ourselves with an unbeliever because you've been converted. There's nothing you can do about that. But in order to stay with him and show him Christ, it's like, there's going to be a level of discomfort that you have to, you're going to have to live with.
For sure.
It's like, there's no way to get around. It can't be submission when it's comfortable. Submission is only submission when it's uncomfortable. That's submission. It's like, you being submitted to me, like me saying, you know what, hey, I'm going to pay all the bills and you ain't going to pay none. You can be like, ugh, I don't want to submit.
That's funny.
That's funny, right? But when I say something else that maybe I'm comfortable, then it's really submission. It's like, how else can you bring somebody who is not in Christ to Christ without actually submitting to them?
Yeah, and once again, I think it depends on what part of submission you're looking at.
Okay.
Because that order that you were talking about, does that order still exist if the person is not a believer? I don't know.
In part.
I think in part as well, but I don't feel like we can say anything definitively. Like, I would need more, like, biblical knowledge.
Well, here's the only biblical knowledge people need to know. Do not be yoked with unbelievers.
Yeah, let's just not.
Do not get into situations that will only...
To the best of our ability.
And I feel like him saying don't be yoked with unbelievers is more proof that you have to actually submit. It's because he's trying to warn them.
Because, like, how can two walk together?
How can two walk together unless they agree? And once you're in it, you're in it unless they decide to go.
Right.
And that's the agreement. It's like, Christ is the head of the man. Well, unless he ain't in Christ, and then
that's
the
part that's struggling.
Then the man is the head of the woman.
That's the part that's struggling.
It is struggling, right? It's tough. But he's saying, like, once you're in it, he knows, like, you're in it. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't give you license to just leave because you want to, because it's like you, the only way you can leave is if they're cheating or committing mm-hmm. adultery, or if they want to leave. Mm-hmm. If they don't want to leave, you stay.
Right. No, that's true.
Right. So it's like, I feel like that's more of a.
I have a question.
Yes.
So he says, I want to move to Kansas. We're moving to Kansas. Mm-hmm. And you pray about it and you're like, Lord, should we move to Kansas? Because he ain't going to pray about it. Mm-hmm. You go to the Lord and say, Lord, woman goes to the Lord, says, Lord, should we move to Kansas? What if the Lord says no?
Well, then the Lord's job would be to change that man's heart.
Or for you to not divorce him, but not go to Kansas.
Yeah, I personally don't feel like the Lord would do that. I don't think he would do that. I actually feel like if the man said he wanted to go to Kansas, that you would go to Kansas. And I don't think he would say no. Even if he isn't. It is interesting. But the Lord, he won't mess up the order either. Like, he won't violate the order. Because he established it.
You very well may be right.
I could be wrong. I don't think I am.
But that's funny. Of course you don't.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
It is tough. It's hard, but it's like, this is why you like, please, like, I cannot say, I'll say it for the 10th time. Don't get married. If you are a Christian and a follower of Christ, do not marry someone who is not.
Yeah.
You cannot.
Not on purpose.
Not on purpose, knowing. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if somebody puts on something and then they start switching up.
Yeah.
After, you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the order is the order.
Yeah.
And it's going to be uncomfortable for you. And like, the things that they'll do, the Bible says you stay with them and you pray for them and love them, especially if you're going to love like Christ love, mm-hmm. with that unconditional love. It's mm-hmm. like, it's going to be uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and you are going to sanctify them.
Yeah.
You, by sanctify, just the way that Christ sanctifies us, we're ignorant mm-hmm. and pitiful. And the only goodness is coming from him.
Yeah.
So now you, as the wife, look to the husband and having to submit. It was amazing. The idea of submission, like I said, the same mind being Christ, who took on the form of a servant. He was king,
mm-hmm.
but he took on that form of a servant to show us his love. And imagine you being a wife having to take on that same form of submission and loving this man into Christ to show him this is what Christ is.
Right.
Yeah. And I ain't saying it's going to be easy or hard. I prefer that you avoid that completely.
Yeah.
You know, but.
I mean, see, here's what I picture.
Yes.
I can very well be, you know, just like waiting on you hand and foot,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's still serving. Yeah. You know, I can be making your breakfast in the morning, ironing your clothes for work, you know, like packing your lunch,
thank you, babe.
Cooking dinner, cleaning the house,
thank you so much.
Running you a bath, all this type of stuff, taking care of the kids and just telling you to kick your feet up after your hard day, all this stuff. You know, I could be doing all of that. And that is serving
mm-hmm.
and that is submission.
Yes.
You know, but does that mean that I have to go wherever you tell me to go and do whatever you tell me to do if you are not in Christ? I don't think that, because it's still, because hear me out.
I'm listening.
Because in that serving with an unbeliever, mm-hmm. you very well could just be totally unappreciative, totally unloving.
Yes.
You know, that could not be reciprocated at all. You might not be helping me at all. You might be totally selfish in
could
the way
be.
That, because think, this is someone who's just operating in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So serving and staying, just staying in a marriage
mm-hmm.
and being faithful to a person who is not going to be faithful to you in every way. And I'm not only talking about infidelity, I'm just talking about like in just their end of the marriage and their end of the relationship. You know, like, they may be a butthole if they're just totally in the flesh. Like, they very well could be a butthole, and me just continuing to be loving and kind and patient, mm-hmm. showing the fruit of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know, is still me doing things that could sanctify my husband, and praying for him, of course, and all of that.
Certainly.
You know, but I'm more talking about just like, oh, honey, like, I want to go to the game on a Sunday. I want to enroll our kids in Little League, and the games are on Sunday, so they can't go to church no more.
Mm-hmm.
That type of stuff.
Trouble.
And obviously that's sinful,
mm-hmm.
and we don't submit to sin.
Correct.
We submit to Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I understand what you're saying, that not everything is sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I just think that gets really blurry to have to.
It's hard.
you know, not just hard. There's a lot of things that are hard. I'm saying you can still serve in a way that's sacrificial without going everywhere your husband tells you to go or doing everything he tells you to do.
Well, this is what I was going to say, is that just because the person is an unbeliever, it doesn't mean like they're going to just be on the complete left side.
Not always, like, no.
Right? They may just be a loving, caring person.
They could
who
be.
Just isn't a Christian.
That's true.
And most likely they probably are. I'll be honest with you. Because they love you. Mm-hmm. They may not be loving to everybody as we're required, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they love you. So now he may say, well, you want to do that, sir? Great. Okay. No problem. And
I
he
mean,
may not tell you
totally
what to do at all.
Consider it, and y'all are able to have feasible discussions about it, or you right. go to him and say, well, the Lord is telling me we shouldn't go, and he loves you, and he's cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, well, then we won't go. Then right. that's not an issue.
See, but then that's why I'm saying, like, so then, but it's like, then it's like, well, where's the submission line? Because it's like, well, am I submitting when everything is cool? Now it's no problem. Oh, but then when it's something I don't really like, then it's like, oh, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know. You know what? To be continued. I'm going to do a little research on that.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like I don't want to give definitives mm-hmm. without being able to say in the book of.
Well, I'll give you a
definitive. Blah, 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 the verse of.
Don't be unequally yoked with
that
unbelievers.
That is a definitive.
If you are saved.
Yeah.
If you are not, receive Christ as salvation for your heart
Amen.
And soul.
Amen.
By your belief that he is God in flesh, and that God the Father raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you shall be saved.
Amen. Amen.
That's the key.
I feel that we should pray for the couples that mm-hmm. are listening, watching, and just couples who are unequally yoked, and couples that are maybe both unsaved, but just whether one or both need salvation, I feel we should just, you know, pray for them.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Let's do that. And we're praying for all of that, people who are unsaved and may, if you are unsaved, you need God
mm-hmm.
and you need Christ. To go in between God's wrath and you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does. Jesus Christ was a sacrifice on the cross that God could accept as atonement, as reconciliation, as a go-between in between the law and sin, and go right in between and shield us from his wrath that is to come. Because God is a holy God. And there is no good person that's going to be able to stand in front of him and say, well, hey, I was a good person, so you should let me be in your presence forever.
Mm-hmm.
He will cleanly tell them to depart from him into utter darkness, because Jesus Christ is the only righteousness that is acceptable in the sight of God the Father. So if you have him, then you have the Father.
Amen.
This is when he said, and if you have the Father, you must have the Son. Because there is no one without the other.
Because mm-hmm.
they are one, which means by nature they are not two.
Yeah.
So, Father, we thank you just for this time together to be able to express some things. We do not have all the answers, Lord, but you are the answer.
Yes, Lord.
To all issues and problems is found in your word, that you love us, that you care for us, and that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, help the couples and the singles and whoever is listening to be able to find their way. What is their will? What is your will for their life, Lord?
Yes, Lord.
Please reveal that to them. Don't let us be lost out here, Father. If our marriage is to represent your relationship with your people, please let it do that. Help us to do that in a manner that is loving. If someone is in a marriage that is unequally yoked, Father, you can fix it.
Yes, God.
Have them cry out to you for help and show them what it is to come and what the purpose is behind it now that they are in it, and show them the joy and the peace and the long suffering that you possess, that they can embody it and that they can represent Christ in a way that is pleasing to you and that is effective to those who do not know you. Father, help us to be able to effectively minister,
yes,
and just allow someone's heart and someone's relationship to be transformed into something that is beautiful but to you, Lord, not just to the world, not for clout, not for fame, not for social media, but for the hearts of people and for your heart, Father, for you to be pleased and for others to be uplifted and edified by what comes forth out of their marriage and out of this marriage and out of this podcast. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen.
Amen.
All right. So it was never our intention to just talk about sex. Sex is important. And it's a part of, it's a huge part of marriage, right? But we just want to keep diving in and answering questions that may be hard to ask to somebody you know, maybe too personal. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't know us. Maybe you do. You know, just we're going to keep asking for questions and we're going to put on here and just see what we can answer and try to bring some light to situations so that marriages can be transformed. They can be uplifted. They can be vital. They can be viable. Mm. They can be good. They can be something that is good. The marriage and divorce rate is terrible. We like to put a big dent in it.
Yeah. Amen.
With the power of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I love you, beloved.
Love you too.
And we love y'all. We'll see you next week or whenever you get back on.
Amen.
All right. Peace.